the 58104's fastest growing podcast. It's the legend. And the loudmouth.
Time anywhere you are and by whatever method you are listening and socially distancing, we thank you for choosing this podcast and rest in peace, Eddie Van Halen. Right now, it's everything. Grant, how we doing?
Good.
We lost a rock legend today, or not today, but last few days, Eddie Van Halen of the Van Halen. Probably a little old still for your time.
No idea who it was.
Anybody's in a football game, you probably heard.
No idea who it was.
No, don't say that. No,
I don't know who he is. Sorry, I don't.
But
I know that song.
That song, you know, right?
Who he was personally.
Yeah. One of the greatest guitar players of the generation. Like a generation of guitar talent. Of every sense of the word. Jump, probably the one you're most familiar with. Also, a few other minor tracks along the way that you may have heard. Panama.
Maybe like.
Oh, come on. You've been going to Fargo Dome games long enough where you've heard this.
Maybe.
And you've probably heard this one at some point. No? Running with the Devil?
No.
Wow. Nope. Again, cultural education is woefully lacking. And then the redo of the Kinks classic, You Really Got Me. No?
Maybe. No.
Really? Still no? You really got no?
Maybe at one time or another, but I can't remember.
Okay. Wow, that's tough. You probably have heard this version within a Michael Jackson song. This is probably his most famous guitar solo. If you've ever heard Michael Jackson's Beat It, just beat it. Well, the legend and I will have a complete guide to Van Halen on our next episode. But anyway,
no.
Rest in peace, Eddie Van Halen, dead at the age of 65. On the show tonight, we've got a smorgasbord, Grant, coming up of athletics to cover. It's okay. Unbelievable. We got the NFL, we got college football, we
college
got
college
football, Major League Baseball. We're halfway to the championship series. The NBA Finals just about wrapped up, and I've got a few things to say about the NBA tonight. I just sort of, a trade for a guy who's probably more famous for a saying and a phrase than it is for an actual play on the ice. And we'll even talk a little high school football at the end of the show as the game of the century approaches this Friday night in North Dakota Class AAA. So, since I again forgot the entire round of show prep, we're not starting with football, right?
Yes.
Okay. So why don't we talk about, we'll get it out of the way because it's running as we speak right now. A little Major League Baseball to start out the show. We know tonight two of the four teams, Grant, that will be in the American League and National League Championship Series. The Houston Astros today wrapping up their, punching their ticket, I should say, with a win over the Oakland A's to go up 3-1 and win that series 3-1. As we speak, the formerly known as the Devil Rays and the Yankees going at it. Bottom six Yankees lead 2-1 in that one. Dodgers up 2-0 in the National League. Atlanta finishes the sweep of Miami today. So, as you look at it, Grant, what do you think? Houston's waiting in the American League. Do you think they can beat either Yankees or Rays?
Well, it hasn't stopped them yet from last year, and no trash cans are needed to win, apparently, like it was last year for them, or the last couple of years. But I look at Houston, and I guess experience matters because they're probably the most tight-knit group, probably, of all of these playoff teams. And you look at Houston, and they've got Altuve still, Springer.
Altuve had a big day today.
Bregman's still there. Everybody from that 2017 team, even Josh Reddick in the outfield, is still there. I mean, a lot of people are still there on that team. Even without their lack of pitching, they're still pretty damn good. And I thought the Twins would kick their ass. They didn't. They kicked the Twins' ass. And then they're on their way, let's put it that way. But I think the winner of the Tampa-New York series beats them.
Astros bullpen has been phenomenal.
Yeah, it has been really good.
In both series, really, if you look at it, they essentially shut the Twins down on one reliever. And even though there's been a lot of homers in this series, the Astros have looked just really solid. And I think it's also a little bit of a testament to this short season. If you had a team like this, they probably, you know, wouldn't have finished below 500 or at 500. And all of a sudden, they're making a big run now at the World Series. So 2-1 there. The Rays again. However, the situation has now changed a little bit for the Rays as Torres has homered for the Yankees. So it's now 4-1, bottom six.
I hate the Yankees.
As the
so
Yankees
much.
Begin to mount. And of course, don't worry, they've got Gerrit Cole sitting in the bullpen ready for game 5 tomorrow night.
They're so annoying.
They're just loaded. National League Braves, as I think a lot of people expected, made quick work of the Marlins. No big shock there. Dodgers looking to wrap up there, just underway. I think that Dodgers-Braves series is going to be a lot of fun to watch with those bullpens.
And more just the more players that are on those teams are just unbelievable. Freddie Freeman, for example, is just having one hell of a season. But that Dodgers team is just so loaded.
They had a classic last night with the Dodgers and the Padres. That was a heck of a game, but Dodgers pull it off, and now I think it's just a question of not if but when that series wraps up. I got to say, my Dodgers-Yankees pick, I think, is still looking pretty solid.
And that's
likely what we're going to get, unless the
national media is going to fall on themselves or see they want to pick.
Unless the Braves can somehow find a way to get, you know, to beat that Dodger pitching. Rays Astros would be an interesting series, but I think we all, deep down, especially with the way the game is going tonight, I don't think the Yankees are done yet. I had a sneaking suspicion when we came back on the air Monday. We'll still be talking about the Yankees in the playoffs.
Unfortunately.
I know. I'm not saying it's a good thing.
Can't stand.
Not saying it's a good thing, but it is probably the way it's going to be. So we'll see how all that plays out. Let's go to the NBA. About the association. Lakers take a 3-1 lead. I'm not
this
happy.
This series is over.
Really, I'm sad because.
Let's go, Lakers!
102-96, the Lakers capture game 4. LeBron 28-12-8. Jimmy Butler tries to hang in there with 22-10-9, but let's be honest, the series is over. The Lakers, by the way, if they get the lead in the going into the fourth quarter this year,
undefeated.
56-0. Needed a big three by Anthony Davis to close it out, but Grant, they look to be in the mood, in the zone, whatever you want to call it. And I think this is going to end.
They
want to
get the hell out of there, out of that bubble, and they're going to take the trophy back with them. There's just such a buzzsaw with LeBron and AD. You have two of the top five players in the league and are on one team. That kind of tells you that, yeah, they have those two, and they have a really good bench as well. And just Miami, they just have enough defense. They're built around shooting, and they just don't have. They've gone pretty cold in this series, and not having Dragic and not having Adebayo for the first couple games of this series doesn't help them either. But LeBron's like, I don't care how good you are. I'm LeBron James. I'm going to murder you. And that's kind of what he's done in this series. He wants to make sure that they win this series.
And I think underrated go the contributions of some of the supporting cast of the Lakers in this series, particularly my man, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, KCP.
He's not your man.
He's not. He's my boy. Making big threes. The Turtle has been great. Rondo always plays Franklin. Well when he's in there. So I really like what they've done to surround LeBron with players. So I don't begrudge LeBron anything for the success or what he's been able to do.
And he'll be back in the finals.
Yeah. But I don't know if he's going to win anymore.
Who the hell's going to beat him at
this
East?
This might be the last time.
Who's going to beat him in the East?
You don't think Brooklyn's got a shot to get back to the finals?
Key to stay healthy.
Yeah, that's the key.
Boston will get him. Miami team will get him. Someone's going to get them.
Yeah, well, we'll see. But we have bigger issues to discuss in the NBA. Okay.
It's time for Loudmouth Rant.
It's time for the Loudmouth Rant here. And I'm to the point in the NBA.
You're the old school guy.
I am the old school guy. I like set plays. I like dumping it down low to get easy points. And I like tough defense. What do I have now? Wine ball.
Wine
ball. If you ask NBA fans, the casual NBA fans, like me, why don't we watch the sport as much as we used to? And I'm not even going to bring up the woke stuff and anything else. This isn't about politics. This isn't about Black Lives Matter. This isn't about any of that. Let me tell you why the NBA is painful to watch right now in big doses for people like me, okay? First of all, every time a player is fouled, it looks like they've been shot or snipered. And if you look at LeBron, he's the worst of the bunch. He is a whiner.
He's not the worst.
He is a whiny little bitch on the court. Okay? Every time any perceived wrong goes against LeBron, the world is against him. He's the most talented friggin' basketball player in the NBA or in the world. Certainly the best player of his generation. And he's a friggin' whiner. And it's old. Every single call is wee, wee, wee. Shut up.
Shut up and dribble. Right?
Shut up and dribble. And I don't mean it in a political way. Shut up. Play the damn game. When you're not, of course, playing the game, it's the ISO ball and three-point contest approach.
James Harden, anybody?
Step back threes, isolation basketball, clear out to the corners, dribble drive, shoot, step out of the way.
I have a question. Can you tell me what traveling is? Because that's not even a thing anymore in the NBA.
Because I still think the Euro step is traveling, but that's a whole other discussion for another
day.
That's
not traveling.
That's traveling.
But the James Harden double step.
In the 80s, that was traveling. Whatever that Euro step is.
No, but that's, you know what's bullshit. Traveling? The double step back, that is a travel. James Harden gets away with it every year. And when the one time Steph Curry does it, he gets called for a travel.
And this is where the analytics nerds all get off. And they think, hey, it's great, you shoot and make more three-pointers and you make two-pointers. No kidding. I get that.
Because I shoot more three-pointers.
They shoot more three-pointers. Field goal percentages are god-awful. And guys make a living at the three-point line. The Tim Legler specialist days, now everybody's Tim Legler.
Yeah.
Remember when Tim Legler and Craig Hodges, those were the guys that would shoot threes.
Duncan Robinson.
I don't like talking about Steve Kerr, you know that.
Well,
too.
I know.
But seriously, the whole NBA is developed into an ISO ball three-point contest. It's either ISO and drive to the rack, get fouled, or it's three-point action. No sets, back picks, cuts, screens. The game flow is terrible.
Let's talk
about game flow.
Oh.
Okay? I know in the past, there's all this talk about how replay review is going to help the game. They're going to get it right. There wouldn't be any critical calls that were missed.
I like
there's a friggin' replay review every 45 seconds.
That's the most 2 minutes.
My God.
It's not the last 2 minutes of games take 5 minutes.
Why can't they just call the goal out of bounds and go on with it until the last couple? And in the last couple minutes, it's worse because every friggin' call is reviewed.
Oh, yeah.
There's no flow to the game. The last 5 minutes of an NBA game are awful.
You know how many timeouts I get per game? Because I don't know how many timeouts.
I think, isn't it like seven?
It's seven or eight.
And then they get it used to be you tap the shoulders for the 20. Now it's the 30. And so that even adds more time to these games. And then, of course, it's timeout because they advance the ball to half court. Put the ball back in the end line. Don't let them advance it to half court. You get these endless game scenarios, and neither team advances each team advances the ball, and it's all this back and forth bullshit. And the insufferable timeouts and the game flow. And then And then they put the fouls to give metric in there at the end of the game. I did all the fouls earlier in the game. I don't need to get two more. I don't want fouls to give. How many fouls do they have in the period? Let's go. And then at least they shut the shot clock down to like 14 after the kick ball reset and all this crap.
After getting offensive rebound, and 14.
Then, and then, of course, then they have the stupid defensive 3 seconds rule. And
I hate
all
that.
This, all this other crap in
can't
here.
Can't be the lane
so,
for 5 seconds.
NBA action, it sucks.
It's not fantastic
anymore. It's not fantastic. And I know there'll be people listening to this that disagree with that. But forget all the social justice crap. Forget all the other stuff. The execution of the last 5 minutes of an NBA game is friggin' painful to watch. And I'm tired, and I'm glad the season's going to be over. Because without any crowd noise in there to alleviate some of the irritation that I feel watching some of these games, I'm just befuddled. No wonder the sport isn't as popular as it once was. No wonder.
It still has stars, though. Still has
great.
Them. Still has that.
Great. And that's fine. And I'm happy the Heat have kind of a little bit of breath of fresh air into the, you know, finals. So we see somebody that isn't Golden State. Or, you know, and it's nice to have Toronto.
Or LeBron in the East.
Yeah, or LeBron. And but LeBron's going to win. And that's fine. And we said at the beginning of the series, I know I said Lakers in five. That's probably exactly where it's going to wind up. I'm interested to see next year. A, we'll have fans back, and B, Brooklyn will be a story, Golden State will be a story, the Lakers will be a story, the Clippers will be a story. It'll be an interesting series of storylines, and there are a lot of people that say the NBA offseason is more interesting than the regular season.
Amen. Yeah, because there's so many good players. We don't know what the hell Giannis is going this offseason.
Giannis is making appearances in Madden, by the way. Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw that. Don't care. Yeah. It's like, stay in your lane. Yeah, stay in the NBA, dude. Like, I'm just saying that's like, with Giannis, where's he going? Is he going to sign a max deal with the Bucks? Is he going to go somewhere else? Is someone going to try to trade for him? Who knows what they're going to try to do? And you look at other stars, and that's like, ooh, where's James Harden going to go? I don't know. If he stays in Houston, where's he going to go? Where's Chris Paul going to go? I know he's older, but he's still a pretty damn good player. He was an all-star this year. At his old, he's about 35 years old. He's still really, really good. And it's like, you know, people are disrespecting Melo, how good he is, and it's like, he's good. He's a good role player now. He's outperformed the rest of his years with the Trailblazers. But it's like, there's so many good players in the off season to try to. It's like in 2K when you try to build your team in the off season. And there's this list of free agency, and you always want the top one, like LeBron or someone like that. It's just, when LeBron went back to Cleveland, when he signed with the Lakers, it was like sports centers, these 3-hour specials, just like counting out where LeBron's going to go. Or just during free agency, like on The Jump with Rachel Nichols. I know you don't like that show, but I mean, they had like this hunker down and wait for Brian Windhorst to come on and see what kind of deals are happening. It's just, free agency is pretty interesting when you think about it.
And that's the problem, is when the off the field product is more entertaining than the on the court product, I should say.
Well, it's not really a big basketball guy either. It doesn't really help out. But
yeah, well, I'm not a, you know, I've always been more of a college basketball guy, and the NBA lost its appeal to me a while ago. This year didn't help, but I get frustrated watching it, and those are some of the reasons why. Because it's just, you know, an NFL game moves faster than an NBA game at the end.
No, the NBA, just needs competitive balance still.
But they're never going to get there.
It's still not really balanced.
No. Like, when you know that, you know, 22 of the teams or whatever are done from the first opening tip of the year, what's the point? In the NFL, anybody can win any year. Even the crap team. Now, there are a few teams that perpetually suck.
Like the teams from New York.
Right, well, Detroit and those kind. But
Denver,
for the most part, if any year, teams come out of nowhere. I mean, look at the Rams from 99. Perfect example. Nobody thought they were going to be any good. You get a freak injury in the preseason. Kurt Warner, the Hall of Famer.
Yep.
Da, da, da.
Cardinals, you know, there's 2008 Cardinals.
Right. Nobody saw some of those teams coming. I just wish but going on to the NBA floor, you know it's over. The minute October starts normally, when the NBA season normally starts, it's done. You already know the final eight. It's just a question of how you get there and who that and who hosts what game. Now, they're not going to probably start until after Christmas, which we were advocating long before COVID.
It should start on Christmas.
It should start on Christmas. That should be like the opening day quadruple gazingle header or whatever.
Right, everybody plays.
Everybody should play, right. And every game should be televised. But
it's like, you want to see the Hornets be good, or you want to see other teams be good. Like,
you want to see the Timberwolves be good again. I mean, it's been 15 years.
You trade the farm to get Giannis, right? I would, too.
I know you would.
I'd trade everybody we could except for D'Lo and Cat, and just trade the rest of our picks to get him.
Yeah. Well,
because that really would, he'd be like KG again. Because KG was the man in Minnesota. And you can get another guy like that that could have another breath of fresh air to the city that kind of needs a winner.
Okay.
And haven't really had one since 2004 with that team. And at least if we get another star in that Timberwolves roster, how good they could be. And it's only not be enough to make the playoffs because that's how loaded the Western Conference
is. That's the problem.
It's like any Minnesota team, if they get good, there's always like eight teams that are better than them. There's always a couple teams that are just that much better than that Minnesota sports team. The Vikings, there's always a couple other good teams. In the NBA, there's always seven other teams that are better than the Wolves. The Twins, there's always the damn Yankees and the Astros to deal with.
Right.
It's like there's just somebody better, it always seems like. There's always just somebody that's just that much better than the Vikes or the Wolves or the Twins or the Wild. There's just someone always better.
Interesting.
Sad, but there's just somebody better.
Well, let's go to a sport where that equality is expressed on the field every week. And, of course, I'm talking about the National Football League. A little slow tonight, sorry. Loudmouths won three of the 4 weeks. Yeah, I'm awesome. Okay, I'm awesome.
Next, I differ on one game, and of course I lose that one.
Way to hit your wagon to the Falcons on Monday night. That was
they almost covered. They were close.
Almost wins a lot of bets.
They needed one more score, and they were done.
So, in case you have not heard the changes for the week, there have been a few. Bills-Titans is now Tuesday Night Football, only on CBS,
correct.
And literally only on CBS.
Correct.
Monday night, the Broncos and Patriots have moved to that spot because of COVID. And so we will not pick all the games on the show tonight. We will pick Bills-Titans, which is a Tuesday game. We'll pick that Monday night to close out our week because I'm sure Legend will need a game to fill in and you'll have to take a desperation pick there anyway. He's telling me I'm number one. But let's get to tonight. We both are on the Bucks minus the three here.
Yep.
In this game tonight. It's 13-0, although the Bears are driving at the two-minute warning here after Cordarrelle Patterson got a big play down to the 2-3-yard line. So far, everything is going as I expected. The Buccaneers not playing with everybody in the lineup tonight. Michael Evans not playing. Leonard Fournette not playing. But Nick Foles.
Mike Evans is playing.
Is Mike Evans playing?
Yeah.
Oh, they said he was questionable.
I just saw him in the game.
Okay. Guess he's not questionable.
I mean, in fact, he has 7 fantasy points? Yeah, I think
okay.
He's playing.
Nick Foles, Tom Brady rematch tonight.
Yeah, Brady
Super Bowl.
By about 30.
Well, right now, Brady by 13. But we have the Bucks, and we are on the under for the 45 for tonight. Let's go to Sunday.
Sunday.
Grant, the Panthers at 2-2 travel to 0-4 Atlanta.
Oh, God.
Falcons a 2-point favorite in this one with an over-under
God.
Of 54.
Ugh.
I think the Falcons get their first win here. I think they're desperate, and I think they're going to get this done. I hate to bet on Dan Quinn about anything, but 2 points is about the right number.
You're betting the Falcons?
Give me the Falcons.
Give me Carolina.
Minus the two.
Carolina.
Really?
Carolina.
Carolina plus two?
If Dan Quinn has a lead in the second half, you know they're going to blow it. All right? The only way the Falcons win this game is a field goal at the end of the game. Because you know as sure as hell they ain't keeping the lead.
And they would cover, too, if they got that.
They ain't keeping a damn lead.
I think I'm going the over. I'm assuming
yep.
You are, too.
Carolina
right,
the
so
over.
So you're on Carolina. I'm on the 0-4 Falcons.
That's a rough wagon to hit you in the hit you. So
yeah, at home, they're going to score a bunch of points. They're going to
problem
be okay.
Is they'll blow the lead in the fourth quarter. Yeah, I'll take Teddy Two Gloves and Robbie Anderson.
By the way, just looking at over-unders, teams this year on fourth down, 69% of the time teams are going for it on fourth and one and from all areas of the field as the Bears are in. Touchdown, David Montgomery. teams are converting fourth and ones.
The Bucks went for a fourth and one. They're on 20.
Uh-huh.
So
fourth and ones are being converted at a 77% rate. So three out of every four. It's like a high school game out there.
It's like stealing.
Okay. Did I miss something? Is that a phrase from somebody?
Yes.
Who?
Hank Stram.
Oh, okay.
It's like stealing.
Got it. All right. I was trying to figure out who we're talking about there. So keep that in mind. The over is still hitting at a over 60% clip. So if you're betting, bet the overs. We'll skip Bills Titans, as we said, till Tuesday night. Raiders on the road at 2-2 at the Chiefs, who are 4-0. Chiefs 12.5 point favorites in this one.
Let's see.
A big number. The over/under was not on the board when I looked. I'll look that up here. But
let's see. Is Mahomes the quarterback for the Chiefs? Yeah, I'll take the Chiefs.
Chiefs minus 12.5.
Oh God, yeah. Oh yeah. I know it's a bigger line, but the Raiders are good. They're not great, and I just think that they have some parts that they can fix. Their defense is one of them. And when their safety is knocking himself out of games, yeah, I think I'll take Kansas City.
Yeah, I'm going to take Kansas City also. The over-under 55, by the way, and I will bet the over.
Way over. 70, maybe.
So, yeah, I like the Chiefs. I don't think they're going to lose at home. I don't think the Raiders will, by any means, make this an easy game.
I think maybe like a 40-17 kind of game.
But I think a two-touchdown win isn't unreasonable for the Chiefs in this one. So we'll both take the Chiefs, and we'll both take the over in this one. Cardinals 2-2 on the road at the 0-4 Jets.
Ooh.
Boy, this is a disappointment game.
Yeah.
Cardinals should be favored. Numbers a little high, but given what, and Joe Flacco, by the way, gonna start for the Jets, which pretty much cements my pick.
J-E-T-S suck.
I'm gonna take the Cardinals minus 7.
I would take the Cardinals as well.
Okay. So we're both on the Cardinals. I'm going to bet the under in this one, too. Minus 7.
Yeah, way under.
Not going to be too good there. Eagles, the two first place teams, the 1-2-1 Eagles at the 3-0 Steelers.
I'll take that.
Minus. Can I get the odds out before we start? Sure. Okay. Minus 7 for the Steelers in this one. Playing the Eagles over under 44.5. I'm going to take the under, and I'm going to take the Steelers. I know that the Eagles went on the road and won a big game last week, but this is a little bit of a different animal.
Yep.
And I like the Steelers, the role they're on right now, coming off a bye also, even though it wasn't their scheduled bye.
I'll take the Pittsburgh Steelers as well. It's like the Eagles beat the 49ers with their practice squad team. That's kind of what they put on the field against the 49ers and somehow won, because Nick Mullins is not that good. But
I think Nick Mullins might have played his last down in San Francisco.
He may have, but I don't know why he's even still there. but I like Pittsburgh in this game. I'll take them. The under, though, I'll take the under, but Pittsburgh.
Okay. And I think Pittsburgh, by the way, just in terms of talent, has certainly the edge.
Everett Cup quarterback.
Excuse me?
Wentz is better than Roethlisberger right now. Come on.
Right now?
Come on.
No. No. You must be joking. Not the way they're playing right now. No way.
And declining Roethlisberger?
Still got an arm. He's still got the ability to shake off tacklers.
Actually has receivers, you know, but...
Well,
Wentz ain't got any of that.
So. Be that as it may, we move on to our favorite coach for the Rams.
Hit that horn!
Sean McVay and the Rams.
And the Horned Rams.
And the Horned Rams, minus 7 at the Washington football team. Let's have a little throwback history here, Grant.
Uh-oh.
I am going to read you now the list, because Kyle Allen is now the 30th different starting quarterback for the Washington football team since 1993.
Oh, my God.
Let's take a trip down memory lane, shall we? The 30. Mark Rippon.
Okay.
Kerry Conklin. Remember Kerry Conklin?
Not Kerry Collins?
Kerry Conklin, no?
No idea.
Rich Gannon.
Yes.
Has been.
Yep.
John Deep Freeze. John Freeze. From Idaho.
Idaho.
Heath Shuler, that's Congressman Heath Shuler.
Yeah, Congressman Heath Shuler.
Gus Frerotte, before he banged his head off the wall.
And did something to his neck.
Jeff Hostetler, Super Bowl winner.
Yep.
Trent Green, best known for going down.
Best known for being signed from the football team to the Rams and then tearing his ACL. Thanks, Rodney Harrison.
Brad Johnson.
Yes.
Jeff George, the million-dollar arm with the 10-cent head. Tony Banks, who backed up some really crappy teams.
Also started for the 2000 Ravens before a guy named Dilfer came in.
The couple of immortal Florida guys, Shane Matthews and Danny Werfel.
You know why? Because Steve Spurrier was the head coach at Washington.
Patrick Ramsey.
Ooh, I think that's very familiar, but I don't remember who he was.
Tim Hasselbeck, now slinging TV opinions on ESPN.
No, not Matt.
Yeah,
Tim.
Not Matt, Tim.
Tim.
Martin Brunell.
Yeah.
Jaguar fame. Yep. Jason Campbell.
Ugh. Ooh.
Wow, that's bad.
He was good for like a year.
Todd Collins.
Oh, that sounds so familiar too.
Donovan McNabb.
Yeah, I remember.
Rex Grossman.
Oh, God.
John Beck. Loser baby. Anyway.
Oh, the Miami quarterback, yeah.
And, of course, some names you know. RG3, of course, was one of them. And
Kirk of Cousins.
Yes, and you know who, and of course... You know who followed RG3? Yes, we liked
Kirk
that.
Kirk D. Cousins.
Kirk Cousins, who now, of course, of Vikings fame. Colt McCoy.
For like a week.
Yeah. Alex Smith, still around.
For a year.
And like Josh Johnson.
Yeah, yeah.
Mark Buttfumble Sanchez.
He started a game? When was this?
Yeah.
What
Case Keenum.
This
was a little bit ago.
Rewind to Sanchez. When was this?
2 years ago.
2017?
I don't. Must have been.
I remember him starting the game.
Then we have, of course, Keenum, Haskins, and Kyle Allen, who will now start this coming weekend. There you have it. 30 starting quarterbacks in almost 30
Daniel
years
Snyder,
for the Redskins.
The only owner who will change quarterbacks and head coaches as much as Jerry did.
Ugh, awful. Oh, by the way, did I mention Rams by 7? Yeah.
I'll take that.
Yeah. No over under on this game. I'm checking it as we speak.
Doesn't
here,
matter. It's the over. I'll take the over.
I don't think the Reds Washington the football team has got
it. It was like a 40 point line. I think
46 and a half. I'll take the under.
I'll take the over.
All right. But we're both taking the Rams?
Yeah, Rams.
Okay.
I'm taking the over because you think the Rams will score at least 35. And the Redskins might get at least 17.
I don't know. I think the points per game would tell you that it's right about on that line, but I think it'll be lower. So give me the under in that one. Ravens are minus 13, hosting the Bengals, who finally got their first win of the year.
Ravens and Bengals, Ravens.
You like the Ravens minus the 13?
Yeah.
Any particular reason why?
It's the Bungles. I'll take the Ravens. The Bungles are terrible.
Lamar Jackson has not practiced as much this week. He has a sore stomach. It's not COVID related.
I think the Bengals offense is pretty good, but their defense is not really good. It's just and Lamar is Lamar, and if he throws,
are they 13 points better?
Yeah, I do. I think their defense. Even if they struggle, their defense will keep them in the game, and that should be enough.
Okay,
but. I'm backing off Lamar as Mahomes is there apparent because he's not. But if Lamar Jackson can do the Buddy Ryan thing when Buddy was with Randall Cunningham, 5 big plays will win you a game. If Lamar gets 5 big plays, they'll win by at least 20.
It's usually the way it works anyway. I think the Bengals will keep it close.
Yeah,
but
don't tell me they cover.
But 2 touchdowns, I think, is probably about right. I'll take the Ravens minus the 13.
Thank you.
I don't like the big spread games like this. Normally, that's a good opportunity to bet a double-digit dog. However, in this case, I just don't think the Bengals are going to be around and competitive in the game long enough for it to matter. So I'll take the Ravens minus the 13 as well. Again, no over-under was immediately posted on this one, so we'll have to leave that one alone. Ugh, Jaguars 1-3 at the 0-4 Texans. Texans are 6-point favorites.
Give me the Jags.
I kind of figured you might.
I said this earlier. Give me the Jags.
Gardner Minshew. They didn't look good on. They've had an extra. They've had kind of a mini bye. They had 10
bye,
days.
Bye.
Romeo Crennel now taking over as the leader of the Jaguars.
As the Texans
against the Jaguars. Houston. I think. They're going to win some games. This is the opportunity to win that game. I'm not sure about a cover, though. You're going to take Jacksonville plus the six?
I'm taking Jacksonville plus the six. You give me six at Houston, and Houston has been god-awful. I think I'll take the Jaguars. Because Minshew and DJ Chark a little bit of a connection. And James Robinson has been excellent this first part of the season. And when Lutz Houston up close, they can't run the ball. And Watson wasn't targeting Brandon Cooks for some odd reason.
Zero catches.
Yeah, zero catches. And he targeted him, what, four or five times? Couldn't get a catch?
Yeah.
But, I mean, Will Fuller and Kenny Stills might have great days. But, I mean, if you can't run the ball, your best running is Deshaun Watson running for his life. And I don't really know what offense you think you have. I'll take Jacksonville.
I'm inclined to agree with you.
And you're giving me 6 points.
Yeah, and I'm going to take the Jags. And if I'm getting
you
points,
are backing out of that, dude.
I kind of did. I honestly did back out on that pick. I was going to seriously think about taking the Titans. Or Titans? No, I'm not going to take them
Titans.
Either. I'm going to take the Jaguars plus the six because I think getting points against Jackson or against Houston is a good thing for that group to have. Moving on. 49ers, after that embarrassing loss to the Eagles, they host the 1-3 Dolphins. 49ers are 8.5-point favorites in this game.
Dolphins, huh?
With a 52 over-under. I'm going to take the under, and I am going to take the 49ers. I think they're going to come back. I think they're going to bounce back hard. I think Miami is going to struggle again, and this is where we're almost at the breaking point for Tua. Okay, we're almost there.
Yeah, we're there. I think we're there, but... This is hard, Loki.
I'm gonna take the Niners -8.5.
But the Dolphins had such a good fight against Seattle.
They did.
And
this is a lot better defense, though.
And the Niners just look so awful against the Eagles. And the Niners defense wasn't even that great against Philly.
Philly.
Yep. It's like where I win or lose. Give me Miami.
You can take Miami.
Yeah.
+8.5.
Yeah.
Well,
this is where I win or lose every week, and I usually get burned on me.
Yeah, this is the kind of game. This is the kind of game that you get burned on.
Screw it.
You've tried the Niners once before in this spot.
That was the Giants. Team. That was a bad choice. This is what I feel better about.
Okay.
I mean, Miami was with a really good Seattle team for three quarters and almost won that game. So, I mean, yes. they held them to what? Jason Myers field goals almost the entire game? I think I'll take my chances with the Dolphins. They look really inspired with Flores under the helm. They look really good.
If you say so, my gut tells me you're wrong.
Okay.
By the way, Bears now have two touchdowns here in the last 2 minutes. Come back on the Bucks and lead 14-13 after the big hit and a fumble. Big game coming up here between the 3-1 Colts and the 3-1 Browns. The Colts are 1.5-point favorites in this one, over under 46. So,
okay. Let's see, Colts Browns, huh? Okay, let's look at the Colts first. You got the Colts that have a really, really solid defense for one, and the offense, it's a really good running attack with Jonathan Taylor and his massive legs, and Phillip Rivers, who has not been the duck hunter he's been all season, like he was last year with the Chargers. Rivers has been really, really good this year. And he hasn't put the ball in harm's way. He's been really, really good. And you look at the Browns, who came off embarrassing the Dallas Cowboys. And the scores don't tell you that much, but the Browns won that game against Dallas. But I like Indianapolis in this game. It's a tough call for me. Is it in Cleveland or in Indy?
It's in Cleveland. It's in Baker Mayfield's house.
I beg yourself.
Hopefully he remembers the keys.
That's such a tough call to make, though.
And 1.5 either way doesn't really make a huge difference in the game.
Yeah.
If anything, it tells him, again, we figure home field advantage is worth 3 points.
And this season, it doesn't. I mean, you're like, there isn't any. This game will tell me if the Browns are for real. The Cowboys game may have had, but when I look at this Browns team, They've had a really solid running game, and if you tell me that you're a playoff team, if you beat the Colts, who I think are also a playoff team, this tells me how good the Browns really are. They might sneak into the playoffs if they lose this game. If you win it, though, this is a really firm standing. The Browns got to show me first. I'm taking the Colts. The Colts defense has been really good this year, and the statistically number one ranked defense in the league. Yeah, I'll take the Colts.
Colts minus the 1.5.
I'll take the Colts minus the 1.5.
Yeah. I think I'd have a different opinion in this game if Nick Chubb was playing.
Yes, and he isn't.
And because he's not, I think the when you have to rely more on Mayfield.
And Hunt. Who has been okay.
Who can't win games for you by himself. I think that's what tips the pick. If Chubb's playing, I think I take the Browns with the house, with the home money.
With Baker's money.
But I can't, in good conscience, even at home, bet that the Browns can pull this off, given their current state
and
of affairs.
And if they win this game, I think they're a playoff team. I think that cements their status.
I'm not a believer. I'm like you. I am not a believer until I see them win a game because like this. At home, they should win it. They're not favored to win it, which that should tell you something about the odds if Vegas isn't going to take
them. Because they've been in these scenarios before. They started the season really strong. In seasons past, they have.
Yeah. Give me the Colts minus
like
the 1.5.
Like in 2007 when they started that really strong start and missed the playoffs at 10-6.
Yeah. Give me the Colts minus the 1.5. I'm not a believer. They'll have to convince me.
Yeah, you win this game, I believe.
Then I'm on board.
Believe, Linda, I believe.
Intriguing contest. Giants 0-4 at the 1-3 Cowboys. Over under 54, a 9.5 point spread.
For the Cowboys?
For the Cowboys.
Okay.
Ooh, it almost looks like free money.
I need to watch Get Up clips. And I know it's Dan Orlovsky speaking, but I think he said something that was really...
Dan Orlovsky, the same guy who can't find the end zone with both hands.
I know, but he said something that was really intriguing. He said, the Cowboys often took cherry pickers. In the first half, they've scored on 9 of 25 drives in the first half. In the second half, all of a sudden their offense is pew, 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 because the defense, they're softer, and they're like, okay, we just got to protect this lead, so let's time get off the clock. And all of a sudden, they score 40 points a game. That's unbelievable. They're top 5 in points scored. That doesn't help when your team is 1-3. They should be 0-4, for crying out loud. And just the more I look at Dallas, their defense is pathetic. The sidelines never missed a tackle, said Rex Ryan, and they're still missing tackles. I don't know if Leighton Van Der Esch is a problem with that defense, that he's not there, or Earl Thomas isn't there, because the Cowboys think they should be getting every massive free agent. But the Cowboys got to fix some stuff up. CeeDee Lamb and Dak can throw for 500 yards, and it doesn't matter. You got to fix it. I thought the Vikings defense was horrible. They're worse. They're pathetic on defense. It's just, if they fix, and the defensive line's being shoved back to the linebackers. Coach Peterson says, if you're getting driven back, fall down. Well, they aren't, and they're getting their asses kicked up front. Am I dumb enough to pick the Giants? Not really, because I don't think the Giants are that good. I'll take Dallas, but God, they got to fix some stuff up around here. I felt really good.
I was going to let you get going the rest of the show. So
that's not like Stephen A. out there just yelling about random things.
I got the NBA rant time. You get the Cowboys.
I'm with Stephen A. I should have my milk and cookies after the.
So legend says Cowboys minus the 9.5.
Unfortunately, I'm going to have to because the Giants are just that pathetic that I just don't think they can score on a Cowboys defense.
Cowboys are 0-4 against the spread this year.
It's the Giants. Don't do this.
0-4. It's their defense is horrible.
It's the Giants.
Their defense couldn't stop water through a sieve.
It's the Giants.
Wow. There's a lot of reasons here to take the Giants.
I already tried this. I wouldn't try it
there's
again.
There's a lot of reasons to do it. But you know what the ultimate reason is?
It's Daniel Jones.
It's the Giants, and I can't do it. Yep, give me the Cowboys minus the 9.5. I can't do it. I was convinced. If you would have told me at the noon hour when I was looking at these games,
yeah. If the Giants would have gone up to Englewood and beaten the Rams, I would have picked. I would have picked the Giants.
I just can't trust. Now you watch. We're going to be sitting here like, are you friggin' kidding?
The Giants have won them.
Seriously.
But in the future, you should have your NBA rant. I should have my Cowboys rant. We'll just keep going here.
Seriously, that's ridiculous. We mentioned Patriots Broncos has been moved to Monday night, but we'll pick it here.
Patriots.
Broncos 1-3 at the 2-2 Patriots.
Is Cam playing?
I don't know yet. As of this taping, we do not know whether Cam.
Either way, I think I'd still probably take the Patriots.
I don't think the Broncos are exactly a major threat.
If Brett Rippon's the starting quarterback, I really don't think it matters. I think the Broncos, who are my dark horse Super Bowl favorite, have slowly They were. I'm not going to lie to you. They were.
Dark horse. Yeah.
They were. I'm serious. But that was before the injuries stacked up for them, too.
And now Noah Fant's not going to play.
Yeah, and Fant's done. Locke's not there. And it's just like... I mean, if Jerry Jeudy's the best option for them as a rookie, it's just... They got some pieces. Cortland Sutton's already out for the year, too. I'm like, Chubb's not 100%. Vaughn's not there the rest of the season. I'm like... I have to pick the Patriots. If it is Stid, I'm more Hoyer playing.
Yeah, Patriots. Give me the Patriots minus the 8.
Is there an over under?
I did not see one on the board.
Okay, I picked the under anyways.
Yeah, I probably would do the same. So we're both on the Patriots here minus the 8 points. The other Monday night game, the scheduled one, which apparently is going to be played in the Superdome now. There was some talk that they'd move that to Indianapolis. Because of the Hurricane Delta, which is coming through the
Delta?
South. It's Delta.
How the hell do you name hurricanes? I don't.
Well, that's a whole other show.
Yeah, you can't use it more than once. So,
I don't think anyway, hurricane.
They haven't used Hurricane Mark yet. So I mean,
every day I'm a hurricane, brother. Every day.
Hurricane.
Chargers 1-3 with Justin Herbert now officially the starter at the set 2-2 Saints, 50.5 over under. Chargers are going to hang around.
Yeah, they will.
And
is it bad that I kind of want to take the Chargers?
No, it's not, because I'm going to take them.
Because there isn't any home field advantage.
No, I like Herbert so much that I'm going to actually pick them. I'm going to give you the Chargers plus the 7.5. Pressure's on. I just put you in a spot there, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. I think the Chargers are going to keep it close. And I think they've got some. I think they're going to throw it the whole game.
I think of the Chargers in that Buccaneer game, thinking, damn, they could be really, really good. And they were really good in spots, and they're really bad in spots. But in the first few drives, the Saints look awful. Like, is Mike Thomas playing?
The plan is right now he's going to play.
Is there anyone on that team that can defend Mike Thomas?
What, can't guard Mike.
What, Casey Hayward, maybe? Chris Harris, maybe?
They're still going to cover.
Because if it's under 7, you still win. So
7.5 is the key to this whole thing.
So I need them to win by 9 or more, really.
No, well...
8 or more, but they ain't
realistically, that's why I think it's going to be a 27-20. I think the Chargers are going to cover with the hook, which is the half point, so...
I really don't want to make a pick on this game. Because if I do it, I'm wrong.
Well, then just take what I took and you'll be safe.
Give me the Chargers. I can't pick the Saints.
Attaboy.
Is it bad I've really lost faith in the Saints over 1 year? Like,
losing faith in the Saints, just Catholic irony is funny, put that way. But
no, but this is more karma from biting us in the ass in 2009. It's starting to bite them back in the ass.
Well, we've bitten them a few times since then. But.
Well, the Rams did. We did.
Everybody's kind of gotten a chunk out of the Saints,
and now NBC's gonna take the biggest bite with Breeze. So,
yeah, right, exactly. Sunday night game.
Oh boy,
Vikings off their one game winning streak.
Nope, not yet. We got
going to take on the undefeated Seahawks with the best player in professional football right now. My vote for MVP, Russell Wilson.
He ain't winning the MVP.
Vikes have no chance of winning this game. None, zero, zip, nada, goose egg. Give me Seattle minus the 7. It's not close. It might be close. It'll be like that 21-7 kind of score around the third quarter. The Vikes will make some comeback to cut it to a couple points, and then Russell Wilson will end the game with, you know, bullshit ball.
It runs like a 50-yard.
It'll be like 38-17.
We'll be in
desperation.
We'll be in a play 3, drop 8 kind of scenario. He'll run for 50 yards.
Vikes have no shot. Give me the Vikes. To lose, give the Seahawks minus the 7 points. Take the over of 57.
What?
It's not close.
You know what?
Oh no! Don't do it! Don't do this.
I'm taking the Seahawks.
Okay. Good.
I just can't do
it. I was gonna go off on you if you picked the Vikings in this game, because that would be the ultimate homer pick and one you know cannot be right.
I just can't do it. No. It's just, I know they've won a game and maybe they have some momentum going now, maybe, but
no,
it's just. I know the Seahawks looked very pedestrian last week against Miami.
That is an understatement.
They look very pedestrian. Where Jason Myers is your source of offense, though David Moore somehow got his tippy toes in bounds, because that's what the Seahawks do. But
ugh.
But the Vikes, if the Vikes are giving up 100-yard games to Will Fuller and Kenny Stills, whichever Will Fuller still shows up that week, I just don't know how in the hell they can win that game. As much as I want them to win that game, so at least they can be a 2-3 team, I just don't know if they have the power to do it. I painfully have to take Seattle. I don't want to, but I have to.
Wise decision. Wise decision, my friend. Wise decision. So we're going head-to-head on Panthers-Falcons. And then, what was the other one?
I think it was Miami.
Oh, yeah, you picked Miami.
Miami, San Francisco. You laughed at me for
you're hanging your hat on the Dolphins and the Panthers.
At least those two teams have wins. True. Like the Falcons, you're going for.
But statistics say that the Falcons are going to win one of these games.
Statistics say, but...
That's right. You're not really a big statistics guy. You're more of a gut feel kind of guy, and that's why you're down 3 weeks and four games.
Sure.
Anyway, moving on. So that's the NFL... Again, we'll pick. I'm sure Grant's going to need a desperation game with Bills Titans on Monday Night Show to pick to try to stay in it. So we'll see how that goes. But no line on that game yet because it may be postponed again at the rate things are going with COVID.
Also, back to the NBA for a second. Fun fact: LeBron James has won 17 of 18 games with a chance to clinch the series, a 94% winning percentage.
Good for him. Still hate him. Still hate him.
I know you don't like
Let's talk college football.
Because Tulane and Houston are leaving right now. So.
Tulane and Houston?
Yeah.
Right. Gee, I'm really sorry. Yeah, I forgot to get a bet down on that one.
Yeah. I'll take Houston in the under.
Trey Lance goes to the NFL, Grant, and no surprise. No. We knew that was going to be the case. But your thoughts and overall on Trey's decision and what you think is going to happen.
I'm not surprised at the decision, but I don't know if that performance made him a top 15 pick. He might be a late first round pick at this point. If he is a mid first round pick, wouldn't be surprised.
Could he be wearing purple?
If he fell to the Vikings, I would not be surprised.
Because you know that...
This might be a Viking kind of pick. Homer guy. I'm surprised they didn't take Antoine Winfield the second.
I'm not convinced that he's going to get past Justin Fields. Here's the thing.
Mock draft, I saw Fields going to the Jaguars.
I think if Fields had not gotten an opportunity to play this year...
Then, yeah, Lance would have been second, yeah.
Might have been the case.
But since Fields is going to have a bigger body of work...
Lawrence is going to be in the playoff, probably playing for a national championship.
And I wouldn't do that.
I don't know if there's any question he's going to be the number one pick. The question is, who's going to be in those first few picks that is going to need a quarterback? And if you think about
it... Jets and Jags.
Are the Jets ready to move on from Darnold, though?
Rumors say they have. They want to get rid of the coach and the quarterback.
Are the Giants going to get rid of Daniel Jones?
I don't know why they picked him in the first place.
See, those are... And don't sleep on the Colts.
No, I thought he might go to the Colts. But here's the problem with the Colts, though. They're a playoff team. They're way in the first round. Now, if Trey gets past Minnesota, then yeah, he would go to the Colts. But if the Vikings had maybe a 15 through 20 pick, then the Colts would have like...
Well, they could trade up.
I know you could trade up, but the Vikes don't play much of a trading up kind of team. They're a trade down kind of team.
Well, but this is why you trade. This is why you trade to accumulate picks to make this kind of.
You
pick.
Mean why? Because Spielman finds.
The timing couldn't be better.
Because Spielman in every draft has like 6th, 7th round picks. It's really weird. He's a lot of late round picks.
I wouldn't put it past him to. I mean, here's a kid from basically in your own backyard for Marshall.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be shocked.
Okay. Who gets picked first, Raidens or Trey?
Who?
Dylan Raidens or Trey?
Oh, Lance by far.
Where would Raidens end?
I could see Raidens going in that, first, second round.
Is he one of the best linemen in this draft?
I can't sit here and evaluate.
He's not. He's not like that Oregon guy that's going second. I can't remember the guy's name. It's. I can't remember his name.
No, but I think you
he's a generous.
You can look at the quality of offensive line play in the NFL, and I think that'll tell you all you need to know about.
If you need a lineman in the NFL, go to NDSU. Their offense is perfectly built for run based system.
Well, and so is their quarterback.
And Minnesota forgot.
And Dom Izzo had a good stat as far as the quarterback is concerned. The last team to have quarterbacks go in the last three drafts is Oklahoma. Otherwise, 3 straight years. You have quarterbacks that have gone. You're starting
from NDSU.
Yeah,
and you're thinking of a lineman school. No, you would. It's a quarterback.
You would think so.
Where's Zebby going then?
Well, at least Zeb's going to be running the offense. And now Zeb gets to run the offense not only for the rest of this season, but because nobody gets a year counted against him, he comes back for another year. So the Bison have their quarterback locked in now for
2 years? He'll be here for 2 years.
Right. Because this will be his fifth year this year with the completion of the spring.
So he'll have a sixth year.
Yeah. Damn. So he'll get to, and that'll bridge the gap between the next quarterback. And who knows, if Zeb's good enough, maybe he gets an Easton Stick type of shot.
But I want to ask you about Trey for a second. Because now that you told me not to ask this until he was done, where does Trey rank? Because we have this conversation all the time. Where does Trey rank in the Bison quarterbacks?
I still don't think you can put him higher than Wentz, Stick, or Jensen.
I think you put him above Wentz. Or above Stick. Above Stick.
Nope. There's just not a deep enough body of
work. He has a better skill set than all three of them.
And he had arguably the greatest season of any quarterback ever. But
like, Brock was power, Wentz was elusive, and Stick can do a little bit of both.
Yep.
And then Trey was the complete package.
Right, he was. But if you're looking at, you got to look at the depth of NDSU presence. And I think in the annals of history, Lance will have the single individual greatest season, but not the greatest career. And I think that's, and there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
I mean, if you're looking at Wentz, Stick, Jensen, Lance,
Sim Dorn,
Bentram, mm-hmm. that's your six. You could do a lot. I mean, to be sixth on that list is not a bad thing. And that's not where I would put Lance.
But what gives Trey an edge, too, is he won the highest honor you could win, too.
He did.
It's not the Harlan Hill. I think it's a little bit higher than the Harlan Hill Award.
But it's a higher level of football.
Yeah, it's a higher level of football, obviously. But
he's great college football.
And he won a title, and he won the highest award, and he won two awards. Freshman of the year, he was a redshirt.
Well, and he was MVP of the championship.
So, I mean, he really did have the trifecta of everything you could really want to have. Is he above Simdorn to you?
Yes.
Bentram?
Yes.
So you think he's in the top four?
No question.
Okay.
And I would put him ahead of Jensen, too.
So he's ahead of Jensen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm not saying that...
Jensen was a great signal caller. I think
there's nothing, again, wrong with being the fourth best quarterback of the D1 era at NDSU.
So you think he's third?
I think he's third.
You think Trey's third?
Yep.
That's respectable.
I think Wentz had the complete package in terms
he's the
of
best passer.
Of being NFL ready.
He's the best passer.
Yes. And there was a toughness factor to him. I thought Stick might have been, for the talent that he had, he was such a good runner.
Yeah, Stick threw a lot of picks, though. Well, Stick and Wentz threw a lot of picks.
Maybe so, but
though.
The guy won 49 of the 52 games.
That's true, but he did throw a lot of picks.
And so be it. But they also were all surrounded. The reason, as I said when we did our show a few months ago about the greatest Bison teams, is that I think Stick had a supporting cast around him that made him good.
Trey had the supporting cast.
And I don't think Wentz had as good a supporting cast.
Oh, God, yeah. I don't debate you with that. Those were the worst supporting cast.
Right. Because Wentz is such a talent, and he didn't have the kind of talent around, and again, let's be realistic. The kind of talent we're talking about,
really, really good. But when his best receivers in the Wentz era, it was Urzendowski, Vraw in the later stages of his career at NDSU.
Yeah.
Stick had Shepard, or a stable of running backs as usual.
Well, and Shepard's an NFL wide receiver.
Yeah, Dallas Freeman was the second option, though. With Trey, you had this great stable of running backs, Ben Ellison, an NFL tight end. You had Christian Watson, you had Phoenix Sproles, you still had Braylon Henderson's coming back. You still have all those great receivers that they still have. And last year, Jimmy Kaporos too was very underrated. But Jimmy Kaporos was one hell of a receiver.
They all had great defenses. But
yeah, my defense would say certainly helps.
Lance's defense is pretty good. Sticks was as good as they get.
Yes.
And Wentz took over a team that defensively probably wasn't as talented.
Every quarterback had like one really good defense during that time. Like, Jensen has a 2013 team. Wentz had the 2014 team. Stick had the 2018 team. Lance has a 2019 team. They all have one number one ranked defense behind them.
Well, we'll have plenty of time to talk about the Bison offseason coming up. Let's get to the key college games of the weekend just to talk about them real briefly. Florida 6.5 over Texas A&M. That's 4 versus 21.
Florida.
Virginia Tech at North Carolina, who you don't believe in. 19 versus 8.
I'll still pick them. Carolina. Yeah, I don't think they're really a real contender in the ACC.
Tennessee at Georgia. Georgia 12.5 point favorite. I don't believe in Tennessee.
Nope.
And then the big game of the weekend, Miami, number 7 at number 1,
Miami.
Clemson. Clemson will kill them.
Miami.
Won't be close. Florida State at number 5, Notre Dame, which would be a good game in 1993.
Charlie wore the peak of his powers.
Kansas State goes on the road to play TCU. See if Chris Klieman can take that one. TCU upset Texas last week, so that should prove interesting. And then just for fun, our boys from Central Arkansas.
They're going to get their ass kicked by Arkansas State.
Arkansas State. I believe that's a rematch, if I'm not mistaken, from earlier this week in the season. I think they might be playing twice.
I can't even confirm or deny that.
So, last thing we want to cover on the show tonight is the, I know, again, we don't talk hockey much, but we have to talk it today because the Minnesota Wild made a trade to bring the immortal Nick Bonino to Minnesota. And if you don't know who Nick Bonino is, I'm going to play a clip for you from 4 years ago, Hockey Night in Canada. This is the Punjabi edition, by the way. And the call that the Punjabi play-by-play announcer made of Nick Bonino's goal in the game against the San Jose Sharks in the Stanley Cup Finals, it went viral. It made the Punjabi announcer a household name because of this. I think it's the little hitch in his little puberty hitch there that kicks in there. Anyway, that call went viral. I mean, it's no... who's our guy from the Panthers? Shorty scores! Randy Muller. He's no Randy Muller. Shorty scores!
Yeah.
Mama, there goes that man! And everything else.
I don't think he ever said that.
Maybe not, but... Anyway, so it gave me a good excuse to play the Nick Bonino clip, which I always like. So.
Bonino.
Anyway, great hockey clip. He's now a member of the Minnesota Wild, so now when next time he scores, Anthony LaPanta can do some Bonino for us. I don't know. And game of the century, lifetime, COVID bowl, whatever we're calling it.
Yeah.
Number 4, Davies at number 2, Cheyenne. We go to our Davies High School football correspondent, Grant Hubbard. Grant,
that's me.
Davies taking this one?
We winning.
Oh, boy. That was the correct answer, by the way. Davies, Cheyenne, Friday night on the X, I believe.
On the Extra.
I'll be there.
Yeah, it's a voucher.
Yeah, that's right, because I got a voucher and I got a pass, and I don't have COVID, so it means I get to go to the game. Should be a fun one in West Fargo on Friday night. JV domination after last week.
Yeah, 12-6. 12-6.
So now we'll see if the varsity team can hold down the fort and make it a daily double for the weekend against the Cheyenne Mustangs. We are way over time, as usual. Whoa, a little loud on the closing here. Maybe that's why. Hey, get in touch with the show. Our email is legendandloudmouth@gmail.com. That's legendandloudmouth@gmail.com. Find us on Twitter @legendloudmouth. That's @legendloudmouth. And check out our website, legendandloudmouth.com, legendandloudmouth.com, for links to our previous shows. Grant, how do we find you?
Follow me on Instagram, Snapchat, @GrantLegend1. Follow me on TikTok, @GrantLegend. And follow us on Instagram, @Legend_Loudmouth_Pod. It's @Legend_Loudmouth_Pod. DM us if you like the show, hate the show, we don't care. DM us, please.
Hey, and don't forget, when you're on your various websites listening to our podcast, give us a like, give us a review. Please let us know you like the show, you hate the show, like Grant says. We want to see if you'll be willing to subscribe to our podcast. Get them every week, Monday and Thursday, when they come out. Again, that's what our Twitter feed's for, on Facebook. Find us all over the place. We want you listening to the show, and we want to talk about what you want to talk about. And, of course, we really look forward to this. Another weekend of football. It's busy. It's the way we like it. It's the Legend and the Loudmouth. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you on Monday.